Chapter 40. When Vi woke, bound tightly at wrists, ankles, elbows, and knees, the first thing she saw was a middle-aged woman with thin, graying-brown hair, a thick slab of body, the stance of a woman who had never worn anything but practical shoes, a round, lined face, and piercing eyes. The Major was staring at her. A fire was burning behind Vi, and a small bundle near her that was probably Uli, bound and trussed like she was.
"Fuck you!"
Vi said. She was gagged. Not just some little gag of a handkerchief tied around her mouth, a serious gag. It felt like a rock had been wrapped in a handkerchief and stuffed in her mouth. Then, thin leather ties wrapped every which way around her face, guaranteeing she couldn't speak.
"Before we start, Vi," the woman said, "I want to tell you something very important. If you do escape from me, which you won't, do not run into the forest. Have you ever heard of the Dark Hunter?"
Vi scowled as well as she could with her mouth stuck partially open, then decided she had nothing to lose by letting the old woman talk. She shook her head.
"That would explain why you were rushing headlong into death, I suppose," the woman said. "I'm Sister Ariel Wyant Safaste. The Dark Hunter was created some 600 and maybe 50 years ago by a magus named Ezra, perhaps the most talented magus who ever lived. Ezra was on the losing side of the War of Darkness. He was one of Jorsan Alkesti's most trusted generals, the kind of man who seemed to be able to do everything, and everything he did superlatively. I'm sorry, superlatively means he did everything excellently."
It means it,
Vi said, though it was a lie.
"What? Never mind. Ezra created a creature that sensed magic, and certain kinds of creatures that are now extinct. Krull, Ferozi, Ferale, Blamia, and what have you. For which you may thank whatever gods your superstitions support. He created his perfect hunter too well, and he couldn't control it. It began killing anyone with the talent, escaping while Ezra slept. Finally, they battled. Of course, no one knows what happened because no one was there. But the talented children of Toras Bend stopped dying, and no one ever saw the Dark Hunter again. Nor Ezra. However, whatever Ezra did, it didn't kill the Dark Hunter. He only walled it in. Here, about 10 paces north of where I regrettably had to kill your horse, is the first ward. That ward marks you for death. Every magus or major or meister to attempt Ezra's wood in 600 years has died. Powerful mages carrying potent artifacts died. Those artifacts, in turn, lured other mages, and so forth. Whatever happens in the wood, even if the Dark Hunter is a myth, whatever happens there, no one comes back." Sister Ariel paused, and then her voice became bright and cheery. "So, if you escape, don't go north."
Ariel scowled. "You'll pardon me if I'm not doing this right. I've never kidnapped anyone before, unlike you."
"Shit." "Oh, yes. Ulyssandra was rather eager to tell me about you, wet boy."
"Double shit."
"But about that. You're not a wet boy, Vi. You're not even a wet girl. Oh, there have been such things, but what you are is a major extra curriculus. A bush mage. A wild mage."
"Ock you! Ock you!"
Vi threatened against her bonds. It was no use.
"Oh, you don't believe me? A wet boy, Vi, even of the female variety, can use her talent without speaking, so if you are a wet boy, why don't you escape?"
There was nothing, nothing in all the world that Vi couldn't stand as much as feeling helpless. She'd rather have Hugh paw her hair. She'd rather have the God King mount her.
She bucked on the ground, tearing her skin against the ropes. She tried to scream. It made part of the handkerchief go down her throat. She gagged and coughed, and for a moment she thought she was going to die. Then she regained her breath and lay limp. Ariel scowled. "I really don't like this. I hope you'll realize that someday. I'm going to take off your gag, understand? You can't get away from me, even with your talent. And you'll have to learn that sooner or later, so we might as well make it clear now to spare you as much pain as possible. But before you fight me, I do expect your first words to be curses or lies or an attempt to use magic. So before you do that, I'd like to ask you a question." Vi's eyes burned holes in the woman. "That bitch! Just let her take out that gag." "Who is the extremely talented Werdmeister that put this spell on you?" Thoughts of escape evaporated. It was a bluff. It had to be a bluff. But how? Nisos, what did that bastard do to me? It was just what the God King would do, put some fucking spell on her. Hadn't she imagined something of the sort when she was in the throne room? What if it hadn't been her imagination? "Because that spell is really something," Sister Ariel said. "I've been studying it for the past 6 hours while you've been unconscious, and I still can't tell what it does. One thing I do know is that it's trapped, and it definitely bears the marks of being a man's magic. He's anchored it in some interesting ways. I'm considered strong among my sisters, one of the stronger magi to attain the colors in the last 50 years, and it's too strong for me to break. That's clear immediately. You see, there are weaves you can unravel, and there are weaves you have to burst. Fordian knots, if you will. If you are familiar with Fordian knots, oh, never mind. This spell has both. The traps might be unraveled, but the core weave will have to be broken most carefully. Even if I could do it myself, it would probably leave you with some permanent mental damage."
"Nunca!"
"What? Oh." Sister Ariel stayed seated cross-legged and murmured. The bonds fell from Vi's face. She spat out the handkerchief. It had been wrapped around a rock, the bitch! And breathed. She didn't grab her talent. Not yet. "The rest?" she asked, gesturing to her other bonds. Sorry. It's a little hard to talk to you lying on my side." "Fair enough."
"Luveus."
Vi's body was pulled upright and scooted backward to a tree. "So that's your bait? A bluff about some spell on me that we won't be able to take off until we get to the Chantry, where it just so happens it will be impossible for me to escape?" "That's it." Vi pursed her lips. Was it her imagination, or was there a slight glow around Ariel? "That's pretty good bait," she admitted. "Better than we offer most girls." "You always kidnap girls?" "Like I said, this is my first time. It doesn't usually come down to kidnapping. The sisters who do the recruiting have lots of ways to be persuasive. I was deemed too tactless for such work."
"Big surprise."
"What's the usual bait?" Vi asked. "Just to be like the recruiters, who tend to be beautiful, charming, respected, and, not least, always get their own way."
"And the hook is?" Vi asked.
"Oh, we're continuing the fishing metaphor." "What?" Vi asked. "Never mind. The hook is servitude and tutelage. It's like an apprenticeship. 7 to 10 years of service before you become a full sister. Then you're free." Vi had had enough of apprenticeship to last her for 10 lives. She sneered. "Keep her talking. I might as well learn what I can." "You said I'm not really a wet boy."
"I do all the wet boy stuff."
Have troubles with the embrace of darkness, don't you?
What?
Invisibility. You can't do it, can you?
How did she know that?
That's just a legend. It drives up prices. No one goes invisible. I can see you're going to spend a lot of time unlearning things you think you know. True wet boys can go invisible, but mages don't do invisibility. Your talent has to practically live in your skin. Invisibility requires a total body awareness so profound that it extends to feeling how light is touching every part of your skin. What you are is something different. In fact, something forbidden by a treaty 138 years old. The Alatirans would be, shall we say, highly overwrought if we'd trained you this way. You see, if you mastered a few more things, you'd be a war mage. Oh, you're going to cause the speaker a few headaches, I can see that already.
Fuck you, Vi said. Sister Ariel leaned over and slapped her.
You will speak civilly.
Fuck you, Vi said without intonation.
Let's settle something now, then, Sister Ariel said, standing.
Luveus Abreus, Luveus Gracchus.
Vi was yanked to her feet. Her bonds dropped away. A dagger flew from her pack and dropped at her feet. Vi didn't reach for the knife. She didn't stop to take the time. She cursed her talent into a titanic punch into Sister Ariel's stomach. The force of the blow blasted Sister Ariel off her feet. She flipped over the fire and skidded across the dirt on the other side, but Vi didn't move. She didn't even try to run. She was looking at her drooping hand. It was like she'd punched steel. Bones were sticking out of her skin. Her knuckles were a mass of blood. Her wrist was broken. Both bones in her forearm had snapped. One of them was pressing against the skin from underneath, threatening to jut out. Sister Ariel stood and shook her big, loose dress. Dust puffed out. She snorted as she looked at Vi, who was cradling her arm.
You should really strengthen your bones before you strike with your talent.
I did, Vi said. She was going into shock. She sat, or maybe fell.
Then you shouldn't punch an armored major.
Ariel tisked as she looked at Vi's destroyed hand. It seems you've more talent than sense. Not to worry, that's common enough. We know how to deal with it. The truth is, Vi, that your body magic is untrained, undefined, and no match for any schooled sister.
You could be so much more.
Do you even know how to heal yourself?
Vi was shaking. She looked up dumbly.
Well, if you ever want to use your hand again, I can heal it. But it hurts, and I'm slow.
Vi offered up her arm, mute.
Just a second. I need to ward Uli's ears. Otherwise your screams will wake her.
I won't scream, Vi swore.
As it turned out, she did.
Logan froze. Another time he might have tried to get everyone down to build their tower again once Gorky was gone, but he knew he'd never summon the strength to try it again.
What's going on down here?
Gorky demanded.
What? We've been silent. How did he hear anything?
Pressing into the wall as much as he could, Logan looked up and saw that Finn was doing the same thing, and sitting on his shoulders, Lily was too. Torchlight slanted through the grate as Gorky came the last few feet. From where he was standing now, Lily was only a few feet from his shoes. With the sheer edge of the hole below the grate, though, the torchlight wouldn't fall on Lily unless he stepped closer. They heard Gorky sniffing, and the torchlight shifted as he leaned forward. He cursed them.
Animals, you stink worse than usual.
Gods, he was smelling Lily.
Why don't you wash yourselves?
This could go on for a while.
If it was a bad day, he'd empty his bladder onto them. Logan shook with rage and weakness. There was no reason for a Gorky. There was no understanding it. Gorky gained nothing by tormenting them, but he did, and he loved it. Go away. Just go away.
What's going on down there? Gorky said. I heard some noise. What you doing?
The torch shifted again, and light dipped perilously close to Lily. Gorky was walking around the grate, holding up the torch, staring as deeply into the hole as he could. He was moving counterclockwise away from them first. The holers were frozen. None of them were cursing, or fighting, or talking, or anything. It was a dead giveaway. Only Natasa moved, away from Logan. The light cut a path across the grate and lit up Lily's entire head.
Go to hell, Gorky!
Natasa shouted. The torch shifted away from Lily suddenly.
Who's... Ah! It's my little girl, isn't it?
You see my face, Gorky?
Natasa asked. Clever girl.
This is the last thing you're ever going to see, because I'm going to kill you.
Gorky laughed. You got a mouth on you, don't you? But then, you already showed me that before we sent you down there, didn't you?
He laughed again.
Fuck you.
Did that too. Ha ha! You're the hottest little thing I've had in years. You've been letting the rest of them boys have a piece? I was your first, though. You never forget your first. You'll never forget me, will you?
He laughed again. Logan marveled at Natasa's courage. She was taunting the man who had raped her just to give them a chance.
How's Lily taking it? I'm sure them boys would rather stick you than that old whore. How's it going, Lily? Competition get fierce all of a sudden? Hey, where are you, Lily?
He shifted again, searching the depths for Lily.
I threw that bitch down the hole, Natasa said.
Logan was shaking so hard he could barely stand.
No shit! You are a little wildcat, aren't you? I bet you even tempt our virginal little king, don't you? You banged her yet, king? I know Lily was a little scabby for you, but this is some fine meat, eh, king? Where are you?
Across the hole, Tats said,
Fuck you!
Into his hands. Muffled, it sounded almost like Logan. At the quick thinking, Logan felt a rush of warm feeling for the holers, gods. They were all in this together, and they'd get out together, too.
Gorky laughed. All right, well, it's been fun. You all let me know when you're hungry. I got extra steak tonight, and I'm so full I don't think I could force another bite down.
Logan had no strength left. He wanted to cry out. His body felt so weak. He couldn't even feel himself standing. He just knew that if he tried to move, he'd collapse. His body was bathed in cold sweat. His vision was blurring. Logan heard ragged breathing, breaths of relief, a moment later.
He's gone,
someone said. It was Natasa. She was standing next to Logan again, and her eyes were full of fierce tears.
Just hold on, Logan. We're close.
Something rattled loudly on the grate.
What are you doing?
Finn hissed.
Lily, what the hell?
I didn't even touch it, I swear,
she said.
Get down,
Logan cried. But it was too late. There was already the sound of running steps, and a moment later, Gorky was over the grate, Lily and Finn and Logan fully lit by his torch. With savage speed, he smashed Lily in the face with the butt of his spear. All of them collapsed. Even as the bodies landed on him, crushing him to the sloping stone floor, Logan saw his treasure, the key he had saved for months, fly free of Lily's hand. It rang as it bounced off the stone floor, gleaming in the cutting light of the torch, and fell into the hole. Every one of his hopes, every dream,
was tied to that key. As it disappeared into the hole, it dragged them along with it. A second of fragile peace passed as every eye watched the key disappear. Then, one by one, the holers grasped the new reality, which was just like the old reality before they'd known the key existed. Finn was punching someone. It had to be Lily, because when he got to his knees, he was holding his rope. Then he punched Logan in the face. Logan couldn't stop him. Finn was too strong. All of Logan's strength was exhausted. He fell limp. There was an inhuman snarl, and a solid form slabbed into Finn, sending him flying, tumbling right to the edge of the hole. It was Nasher, and he crouched over Logan, baring his teeth. On his hands and heels, Finn scrambled to get away from Nasher. When Nasher didn't follow, Finn stood slowly. Logan tried to sit up, but his body refused to obey. He couldn't even move. The world swam before his eyes.
"I get the new bitch first," Finn said.
"Gods be merciful."
"You'll be the first to die, you asshole!"
Natasa screamed. She was trembling, holding the dagger like she had no idea what to do with it. The holers, the fucking animals, surrounded her on three sides. She retreated to the edge of the hole, slashing at the air with the dagger. Above them, Gorky was laughing.
"Sweet meat, boys, sweet meat!"
"No," Logan said. "No, Nash, save her! Save her, please!" Nasher didn't move. He was still snarling, making everyone stay away from Logan. Natasa saw it. If she could only get to Logan's side of the hole, everyone's fear of Nasher would keep them back. But Finn saw it too. He unlimbered a coil of rope into a lasso.
"You can make this easy, or you can make it hard," Finn said, smacking bloody lips.
Natasa looked at him, her eyes fixed on the lasso in his hands, as if she'd forgotten the dagger in her own. She looked across the hole and met Logan's eyes.
"I'm sorry, Logan,"
she said. Then she stepped into the hole. The holers cried out as she fell out of sight.
"Shut up and listen," Gorky screamed. "Sometimes you can hear 'em hit bottom."
And the bastards, the animals, the monsters, they did shut up and listen, hoping to hear a body smash against the rocks below. They were too late. The holers grumbled the customary curses about lost meat and looked over to Lily. Logan's tears were as hot as his fever.
"Now, who the fuck's Logan?" Gorky shouted. "King! Was she talking to you?"
Logan closed his eyes. What did it matter anymore?